Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and thanks for listening to WAMS and the Blog Talk Radio Network and the Burke Allen Show. Our number, 718-506-1944. That's a free call if you happen to be in the New York City metropolitan area. As we broadcast live today, it is very cold there. It is very cold here. Very cold in the southeast as well, with Atlanta in gridlock. Some people say it's weather of biblical proportion. So we have an author who's written a new biblical book, a very controversial and interesting biblical book called The Making of the Lamb, as our guest today. Robert Harley Bear joins us from Washington, D.C. on the Burke Allen Show. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Burke.
So the new book, The Making of the Lamb, has to do with sort of this hidden time in the Bible with Jesus Christ between the ages of 12 and 30, where there's just no information in the Bible about that time. And you definitely take it in a whole different direction. What first got you interested in that whole time period?
Well, it was back when I was being baptized about 8 or 9 years ago. And I just was exposed to this crazy legend. I thought it was a really crazy legend at first, that Jesus had traveled to England during his so-called missing years. And then I started looking into it, and I found there was actually some historical support for it. And I also found out about different legends, and it came to be that nowadays, I when I think of, you know, what's the most probable way Jesus could have spent to those 18 years of his life, I think it's probably the most improbable that he would just stay in Nazareth all that time.
The book is The Making of the Lamb. Our guest today is the author, Robert Bear. It's brand new and available online and in bookstores everywhere. And you can also find out more about him at makingofthelamb.com. This is not necessarily, although you said that you got interested after you were baptized, this is not necessarily, though, a Christian book or even a book for Christians necessarily. Is that right?
That's right, Burke. You know, I would say it attracts multiple audiences. If you look at my website and look at the reviews that have come in so far, I have a great review from the Grand Archdruid of the Ancient Order of Druids in America. I have one from a liberal Christian. I have one from a very traditional Christian. What I try to do is not really proselytize, but to get to write an entertaining and thought-provoking book. It's not to hammer people on the head and say this is all the answers, but to get them thinking. So I think it's going to be attractive, you know, not only to Christians, but also to people who doubt and question what they're hearing, and also to people who are not, you know, interested in becoming Christians at all, but just want to learn more about what maybe Christianity is about.
And I'm sure there are going to be some folks who are very much to the religious right who are going to come after you and say, look, you know, you've written this book, and it's all, you know, blasphemy, you know, how dare you? And to that, what say you, Robert?
I guess essentially they're saying I'm a heretic. You know what the real problem with heresy is, Burke? The real problem with heresy is not that it sends you to hell or anything like that. The real problem with heresy is that it's boring. You know, in the early history of the church, they had a series of church councils to condemn heretics, and then they stopped having them around the year AD 750. And you know why they stopped?
Why is that?
I think they just stopped because they were bored. Because if you look at all the heresies involved in those years, it all was about the nature of Jesus. Some heretics said that he was not human enough, and some said he was not divine enough. Of course, the church doctrine is that he's fully human, fully divine. So my thinking is that it would just been like, you know, listening to the Goldilocks story all over again. You know, this guy is not divine enough. My porridge is too hot. Okay, burn him at the stake. This one is, you know, he's not human enough. My porridge is too cold. You know, let's just throw him to the lions. Now, in my book, as I said, Jesus is fully human and fully divine. So in Goldilocks terminology, I think I got that issue just right. So when people say that I'm a heretic, well, you know, maybe it's because, you know, in my book he picks up some ideas from the Druids. You know, he has this confrontation with God the Father about this horrible destiny he's going to have. You know, whatever. You know, if that makes me a heretic, I say, you know, that's just fine, because if I'm a heretic, at least I'm the first original, fully original heretic that's come along in more than 1,000 years.
Attaboy, I like it. Robert Baer is our guest today. The book we're talking about is The Making of the Lamb. It's this new novel that is pretty fascinating. And if you can sort of marry Braveheart, for example, with the story of the coming of age of Jesus, you might get an idea of what we're talking about here. Robert is a guy who has parented 2 teenagers, and I've got a 3rd one who will be bouncing into his teen years before you know it. Teens are challenging, to say the least, and it can just go downhill from there. You certainly do not have a teenage Jesus Christ, you know, as this perfect divine kid. He challenges authority, and in this case, it's heavenly authority, and he also gets pretty handy with a sword.
That's great. Well, first of all, if you look at the Bible, in the last incident we have that's in the Bible about the life of Jesus during this period, it was when he was teaching at the temple at the age of 12. And
right.
That's on only one of the Gospels. It's in at the end of the chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel. And to me, Jesus comes across in that as, you know, he's aware that he's the Son of God, but he's also a little bit snarky with his parents. You know, he goes off, runs off. They can't find him, you know, for 3 days. You know, when they finally do find him in the temple at Jerusalem, he says, you know, what are you looking for me for? Don't you know I'm the Son of God? I'd be with, you know, in my Father's house. And the way the gospel writer treats that, he doesn't try to really defend, you know, this sort of attitude towards the parents as divine, but he portrays it as, well, from then on, Jesus grew in stature and wisdom and the favor of God and man, so that he's coming, you know, he's basically saying, Luke is saying, well, Jesus was still an unfinished work at the age of 12. And then, you know, the next we hear about him is at the age of 30. So, and then, you know, so as far as him taking up the sword during this time, Risa Aslan wrote a book that's just come out called Zealot. I didn't have that book in front of me when I wrote the book, which was, you know, over the last 8 years. But Risa Aslan makes a very good case that at the time, you know, around the first century A.D., the Israel was totally oppressed under Roman rule, and it would have been natural for Jesus to be growing up as somewhat of a revolutionary figure. And so in the book, Jesus at first, like most Jews of the first century, thought of himself, the Messiah, as this conquering King David type of hero. And then the crisis comes when he finds out that's not what his God the Father has in mind for him.
Robert Hartley Baer is our guest. The book is The Making of the Lamb. It's a fascinating story about these, if you want to call it that, lost years of Jesus from the age of 12 to the age of 30. And in your book, which is a fictional novel, you take young Jesus Christ over to England. But there's actually, as I've learned in reading about the book, there's actually an old ancient hymn that sort of purports to tell that story, and there is some factual basis to that. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the hymn is the Jerusalem hymn. You know, that's actually how I got introduced to the story. As a friend of mine and I were driving along, and he popped the CD into my CD player, and I heard this crazy hymn. It's like, you know, oh, did those feet in ancient time walk upon England's mountains green? And was the Holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures seen? and that was written by William Blake in the year 1808. About 100 years later, at the beginning of the 20th century, it was set to music, and it's now England's national hymn. It's played at Prince William's wedding. It's played every year at the Proms concert. It's actually a very favorite hymn over on the other side of the pond. And then there's a history that goes to the Dark Ages. I think the first reference we have of it is actually some writings of Augustine of Canterbury from the year AD 600, who was sent by Pope Gregory to convert the English, who were these, at that time, were these Saxons, Angles, and Jutes, the German tribes who had invaded England at that time. And he went there, and he found among the native Celtic people that there was a pre-existing branch of Christianity, and they told him about this place in what is now Glastonbury, England, where they said that Christ had built his own church.
Fascinating.
And then,
it's a very interesting theory, this whole the whole thing, of, because we just don't know. The Bible just doesn't talk about it. And by the way, if you pick up The Making of the Lamb by author Robert Baer, you'll be able to sort of put yourself back into that time in history. Robert, when we come back after the break, I want to talk with you a little about where the church is today and this amazing new Rolling Stone cover. So hang on, more with author Robert Baer, The Making of the Lamb, right after this on The Burke Allen Show. Stand by.
Over 14 million people witnessed his emotional story of survival and triumph on national television.
I've been doing this, you know, for so long, like ever since I was a kid.
Millions more voted him their favorite in a landslide win.
The winner is...
And now, you can be a part of the experience live.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Your America's Got Talent winner.
I've got you.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Under my
Live. Performing classics from the Great American Songbook and his Columbia Records debut CD, That's Life.
That's Life.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.'s That's Life Tour. The one concert event this year you absolutely can't miss.
You're listening to the radio right now. That means you're a radio fan. Did you ever think, I could do that? I could be on the radio? Well, now you can. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com now and sign up for a free online course to help you get your own radio show. Talk shows, music shows, and more. It's fun, easy, and best of all, you can learn in your own home. Find out how. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com today. That's GetYourOwnRadioShow.com. GetYourOwnRadioShow.com.
Thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show worldwide on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Our number is 718-506-1944. You can also send us a question in our instant chat room today. And we'd love to hear from you. The subject, I think, is fascinating. It's the new book, The Making of the Lamb, and the author, Robert Harley Baer, is our guest today. It's about Jesus Christ's lost years that are not covered in the Bible from ages 12 to age 30. And in the book, Robert takes Jesus and sends him to hang out with the ancient Druids there in England, and it's just incredible. Robert, in the new issue of Rolling Stone, Pope Francis gets the rock star treatment. He is the cover story, and on the cover of Rolling Stone, as a guy who has been studying religion, obviously, quite a bit while you're writing this book, what do you think about this rock star pope?
Well, I mean, he is a rock star. For the Roman Catholic, I'm not a Roman Catholic, but for the Roman Catholic Church, I think it's a real shift from what they've been doing for years. Whether it's issues of human sexuality, raising questions about how the issues of the concentration of wealth that the church is addressing. It was only a few, to me, it's, within my lifetime, I think back to the 1980s, and I can't think of, having a little bit of a senior moment, I can't think of of his name, but there was a bishop down in San Salvador to challenge the authority of you know, of some of the powers that be in terms of economic distribution of wealth, you know, and the extreme poverty that was in that country, and trying to find social solutions. And the church, he was actually assassinated, and the Roman Catholic Church actually turned on him, you know, or his followers, I should say. But, you know, he was actually assassinated, so they couldn't really turn on him. But they turned on his followers and say, no, you know, the church is not supposed to be really involved in that, taking on controversial social issues of that nature. So in many ways, I think it's kind of a new day.
A good thing or a bad thing for Christianity to have a pope who seems to lean forward and be a little more forward-thinking?
That's a good question. I mean, I also believe in the separation of church and state. So, I mean, to me, the church's role is to be a voice of conscience, not a voice of dictating to people, you know, what they have to, you know, support politically.
As a guy who very much is religious, and by the way, we're talking with author Robert Harley Bear, the author of The Making of the Lamb, you know, you immersed yourself in the Christian religion, and also, you know, a lot of history in writing this book. When you see things like, for example, this past Sunday and the Grammy Awards, the song by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, Same Love, was very much attacked by Rush Limbaugh. He said, you know, he thought it was despicable, and you know, when Katy Perry came out dressed as a witch and was burned at the stake, and you know, gay couples were married in the song Same Love by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, and he says, you know, this is something that openly attacks right-wing conservatives and Christians. You know, you've studied this a lot. You're something of a Christian scholar. Do you think that you can lump all Christians into that same world, or maybe is someone like Rush Limbaugh not necessarily speaking for the majority of Christians out there?
Well, I mean, Christianity involves a wide range of viewpoints. You know, my church, the Episcopal Church, has been open for several years now to same-sex couples, you know, committing to themselves and getting married, whereas, you know, they're you know, the more evangelical conservative wing of Christianity, you know, still is not ready for that yet. Maybe never will be. I think you know, what people don't understand about Christianity is that there are really a wide divergence of points of view on social issues, economic issues. To me, the Pope is another point of view that needs to be heard. I think all points of view should be heard. So I wouldn't consider any of it an attack on evangelical Christians.
And so when you see on the news these lunatics from the Westboro Baptist Church who come out and picket soldiers' funerals and all that, what you're saying then is it's not fair to tar and feather all Baptists just because of this one sort of wacko fringe group who calls themselves Baptist.
Absolutely. I would I mean, my brother is Pentecostal/evangelical, you know, but he would not be involved in anything like that, and I'm sure he doesn't believe in that.
The author is Robert Harley Bear. The book is The Making of the Lamb. It's a historical novel, a fictional novel about Jesus Christ's lost years, when, you know, after the age of 12, when he's in the temple, and there's nothing else written about him in the Bible until age 30, so you get a chance to sort of take a look at what happens in Robert's scenario if Jesus Christ had somehow made his way to merry old England. And in England, you have him bumping up against the Druids and the Iron Age self. So tell me how much real history is in there. How much, you know, research did you do, and how realistic and historically accurate do you think your depiction of this time frame was?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing I would emphasize here is it's a novel. It's not a book of theology. So there's a lot of imagination that's in there. However, I did a lot of research on a number of subjects, the Druids, the Celts, and then there are parts of the book where he's traveling through Roman territory and Gaul and also the Holy Lands where he starts out. The most difficult part of this was to figure out what the Druids were all about, because we don't know a whole lot really about what the Druids believed. The sources we have are archaeology. Archaeologists can do amazing things, I've discovered. We know a lot about what people ate, how they farmed. But archaeology doesn't really tell you what they believed. The other source we have is what the Romans wrote about them, primarily the journals of Julius Caesar or the annals of Julius Caesar. But you got to bear in mind, Julius Caesar was their enemy. He was trying to push out the Druids and also to conquer the Celtic people. So you got to take what he says with a grain of salt. Bear in mind, the Romans told everybody that the Christians were cannibals because they didn't get the concept of taking the bread and eating your own God at the Eucharist. As the way they described it, so they described Christians as cannibals. So you got to take what the Romans said with a grain of salt. And the other thing is we have are these Irish. Irish legends that got written down by monks during the Middle Ages. Ireland was the only place in Europe where also Scotland. Ireland and Scotland were the only places that were not conquered by the Romans, where the Celtic culture survived a lot longer through the period of Roman rule and into the Middle Ages. So, but by the time it got written down, of course, the monks had their own bias, and reading these stories, it's just really hard to make out what they say. So I did eventually come across a book that finally made some sense to me, and I was able to sort out what the Druids were all about, make some sense of these pantheon of gods that the Druids, mainly from the Irish folk tales, were, and then fit that into the book I was writing.
And what a book it is! We touched on this lightly, but I can't emphasize enough. This is a fun read. The Making of the Lamb takes this young kid, and it could be any young heroic figure. It just so happens to be Christ, and you got him mixing it up with pirates in the book. He's going at it with the Druids, with these Iron Age Celts. There's a shipwreck in there. There's war, and it just shows him really just like most other young people, getting their act together, but getting their act together in a very historic time and a very action-packed time. This your first book, Robert?
Yes, it is. Yeah, when you say it's fun and action-packed, when I finished my first draft a little more than a year ago, and that's when I started telling people about it. And one of my friends at the church I'm at, when I described the book to him, he said, "Oh, Joseph of Arimathea, that's Jesus's great uncle, who was the man who is mentioned in the Bible. He was the figure that would have brought Jesus over to England." He says, "Oh, Joseph of Arimathea meets the last temptation of Christ." And he kind of chuckled. And then I thought, well, actually, it's Joseph of Arimathea meets the last temptation of Christ, who then meets Indiana Jones.
Yeah, there's some Indiana Jones in there. There's any number of Ferris Bueller's Day Off you might loop in a little bit, because there's a big adventure here. It's a great read. I wish you all the luck with it. The book is called The Making of the Lamb. It's available in bookstores everywhere at Amazon.com. Author Robert Harley Bear is our guest today. And your website, again, is makingofthelamb.com, correct?
Correct.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. Robert Harley Bear, our guest on the Burke Allen Show. Pick up the book, The Making of the Lamb, today. Thanks for listening. Now go out and make it a great day.